Accession number 27790, Mr. Bill Curl, Reel 1. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Curl?
I was born in Tottenham on February the 4th, 1929.
And could you tell us a bit about your background in Tottenham?
Yeah, it's quite a bit I can remember. I mean, all my dad's family lived down there, and my mum's family lived the other side of Tottenham. But it was all Tottenham area, and my dad was brought up around there. And I used to go down to my nan's, you know, down at Devonshire Hill Lane, I don't know if you know, off White Hart Lane, yeah.
You were on White Hart Lane, were you?
Yeah.
And what did your dad do for a living?
At that time, he was a coal porter.
And were there many in the family, brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I've got a brother and two sisters. I'm the eldest.
And was it comfortable? Was your dad in, you know, quite hard the 30s?
It was pretty hard, yeah. There were times when he was, because he was a coalman, come the summertime, he got put off. Or he was on short time, you know, because nobody wanted coal during the summer. So,
we
had a lot of help from Salvation Army. What I can remember of it, they'd come down with, I think, about a 10-shilling meal ticket. You'd go to the co-op and get a bit of meat, a bit of grocery.
What was were you in a house or apartment?
Flat. We were in a flat then.
What was it like?
Flat was all right, from what I remember of it. I can vaguely remember the people, but we left there just after I was about 4-year-old and moved to Barnet.
Which bit of Barnet?
We lived down Wellhouse Lane, down past the hospital. We lived up there.
So that's High Barnet?
Yeah. We lived up there and then we moved in 1935. To Brent Place, which is Maze Lane, off Maze Lane.
And what about your education?
I was at Underhill School, infant school, junior school, and I moved out to the Elizabeth Allen, just an ordinary comprehensive.
Now, how did you do at school?
Average. Average. The thing is, most of the teachers at that time, as the war had started, were in the services. And they brought back a lot of retired women teachers. And you didn't get the full education, because what used to happen, all of a sudden the sirens would sound, you'd all go down the shelter. And all we did down there was play cards or whatever, you know. So you lost a lot of your education.
And was there any subject you particularly liked or disliked?
I liked English at the time. I was good at that composition, doing composition work. Maths, I wasn't too good at that until later on when I went to senior school. I got better at that. But no, composition, I could write a story, what I did on my holidays. You know, I used to go with my dad on the old coal cart. And kept us out of mischief anyway.
And so you were in school till 14, or did you stay later?
No, 14, 1943 I left school.
I'll come back to the war part of it. Yeah. Did you have any big hobbies when you were young? I mean, were you in the Boy Scouts or anything like that?
I was in the Boy Brigade for a while.
What did you do with them?
Not a lot, just mainly at that time it was just parades. And the war was on, they just didn't go anywhere much. You know. But I was in that, and then I joined the Army Cadets down at Underhill School.
When did you join them? How old were you?
Oh, jeez. Still at school. I must have been just about 14.
Just at the end?
Yeah.
So the Boys Brigade, not much to do with that.
No,
what about
no.
Football? Was that? I mean, I know you're interested now, but what about football?
I used to play football, but not in a big way, but we used to go down to the playing fields in Barnet Lane and play football. Like the kids of the street. We knock up two teams, play football down there. I remember playing that. We knocked up a team, played Barnet Youth, and we lost 12-0.
And what about watching football? I noticed you're a Tottenham lad. Did you go to... Because what was a match like then for a free young? Because you went young, didn't you?
It was great. I wouldn't remember. And the only one I can remember is Charlie Dimmock was a player. And I'm going back here, and that was, 1934.
What was the atmosphere like? What was the atmosphere like at a ground on a match day when you were young?
When I was that young.
How old were you when you first went?
Four. And I sat on my day, he put me over the turnstile. Remember him being putting me over the turnstile, and I was on, we was on the terraces, and I was on his shoulder, sat on his shoulders. And from there on, I was Tottenham mad. And the thing is, you know, I used to go down to a mate's house when they had football on a Saturday afternoon, and you got people like Raymond Van Denning doing the competition. Just hoping I'd hear a Tottenham game, but because it was all football was on radio then, and we didn't have a radio.
Now, what about the outbreak of war? You'd be what? About
I'll tell
10,
you why. Yeah, and I'll tell you where I went. I could tell you exactly where I was on that day. My father had just got this job in the coal firm. He'd packed up a building. He'd been in the building game between me being born, and he packed up that, and he got this job as Herbert Clark's coal people. On the Sunday, the 3rd of September, we went down to the Belle Isle Company, which is in York Way, goes up to King's Cross, and picked up two Shire horses. My dad was on the lead horse, and I was on one with a rope behind him. Oh, jeez, my legs, and you know, the size of a horse. And we got up, we came up the Archway Road, and I can remember we came down the hill, and we got as far as, oh, what's the name of the pub where the garage is now, as you come down Elmer Parade, what's the name of that
Wellington, it was
yeah, I think it was the one. So the sirens went, and it was ARP workers with gas capes and everything else, rattles. They got us into the pub, and this was just 11 o'clock, but my dad loved that Sunday morning, 11 o'clock. And we stayed there for a couple of hours, the old horse outside with their nose bags on.
So that was your, you that didn't hear the broadcast, you just remember being taken into the pub with
your dad. Yeah, yeah. When we was out, I said, we got the old bus down, the old trolley bus, down to the old company in York Way, you know. And went down the bus, what I remember of it. I can't remember what bus it went on.
Now,
the bus.
You were only 10, what did you think about the war? I mean, how did you react to it? I mean, was it exciting or what for you as a kid?
It was. As kids, we were, because we used to go down the air raid shelter. We had Anderson shelter in the back
now,
garden.
Tell us about that. What was the Anderson shelter like? Because people, kids now don't know what they're like. Can you describe it?
Yeah, they were sort of corrugated metal frames. And the front was square, the back was square. But the middle part was sort of dome,
a curve.
It went down and it was in about a four foot hole, really. And it was covered over with soil and grass, and you know, it had grass growing over it. But we went down there, we had sandbags like that, you're going like that. And so they were in a sort of zigzag to stop any blast. And we had a mattress down there, and we used to sleep. My dad wouldn't sleep down there.
On a bunk or?
No, mattress on the floor.
It's a dry one. You're on a hill,
weren't you? Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. And we used it for 2 years, and then we got water in it towards the end, you know, so we didn't get used.
What was it like in there when there was a raid or when there wasn't a raid?
It was comfortable because we took a lamp down there. We had a lamp going, and it stood on the, where you come down the steps, And we sort of, us four kids, we was undressed, you know, and my mum. But she'd have a dressing gown on, and she'd prop herself up in the corner, but us kids had a bed. We had the bed between us.
So you just go to sleep?
Yeah, we just went to sleep.
What were the air raids like? I mean, I don't know whether there was much bombing up on High Barnet. Or
no,
Barnet.
We had one right behind us just off Maze Lane in Woodfall Avenue, and I knew the girl Smith, the family died in that. But that was the only one. We had more when you had the doodle bugs and the rockets. That was later in that war.
What do you remember about what happened with the bomb that landed in Woodall Road, did you say?
Woodfall
Road.
Woodfall Avenue. Yeah, Woodfall Avenue.
Woodfall Avenue. What do you remember of that? That was pretty close.
Yeah, we remember it coming down, and part of our ceiling came down with the blast.
Were you in the shelter?
We were in the shelter. We didn't know until the next morning that part of the ceiling was hanging. But it didn't do a lot of damage to us, you know.
And that was the only close.
Yeah, that was the closest we were. Yeah, there was a lot of other bombing. I can remember coming with my dad through Wood Street, and we got as far as Barnet Church, and you could hear this whistle of a bomb, scream of it. So we dived. It's only a holly bush. We just dived down there. I mean, it wouldn't have saved us. But it came down at the end of the high street and did a lot of damage up there. And the vibration, as we walked down Barn Hill, this James and Adams, just the opposite where the police station is now, nearly all the bloody lamps and torches were on where the vibration had. They'd all switched on.
They'd flicked them on.
Yeah, they'd switched them. They might have shortened them out or whatever. All the lights in the window. And of course, the next thing is you got the police over there trying to get in to put them all out.
And so those are your two. Now, what about the V1 and V2?
V1, I was working at the time.
Okay, we'll come back to that.
Yeah,
then.
Yeah.
Now, what about earlier in the war? What about the blackout? What was that like? How did your mum and dad do the blackout?
You used to buy the blackout material. And
what was blackout material? Was it just curtains?
It's just like a black curtain, thickish, and you just hung them up like all the curtains. Yeah.
Not on a frame or anything.
Just hang them like normal curtains. Yeah.
And were people very strict with the blackout?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you often put that line out, ARP warns, banging on the door. You got a light showing or something like that.
And what was it like when you were outside in it? I don't know whether you'd go outside at that age much. What was it like outside
not so much in the blackout. No, after dark, we didn't get out a lot. But during the day, we used to go out as kids. Because, I mean, that first few months, We didn't go back to school. We should have gone back in September. The war started and we didn't go back till about November.
You weren't evacuated then?
No, my sister and my brother were. And my youngest sister, she was too young. She was only two and mum used to be there. And I was, at that time, I was coming up to leaving school. So
you didn't go back till November, 1939?
Yeah.
That's sort of 2 months late.
Yeah, it's great.
That must have affected your education a bit.
Yeah, it probably did. You didn't think about it, you know.
And but your school after that ran normally until you left when you were 14. Now, what about rationing? How much of food and clothing?
Oh, yeah. Well, I think you've got about 1 and 2 pence worth of meat, and I think we've got 4 ounces of margarine, 2 ounces of butter per person. Then clothes rationing came in, so many juvents.
Now, how did that affect your life? I mean, did it make much of a difference?
Oh, yeah, it did. But I'm telling you, I think even now you think about it, we get all this bloody rich food, we have all this stuff. We only had basic food, and everybody was healthy. Yeah.
So you had enough.
They could always improvise. And we grew vegetables, and we had chickens. So we had eggs.
You had a big garden then?
Yeah, 90-foot garden it was. Yeah, 90-foot long and about 15 feet wide. Big garden.
So what was your dad growing
there? My daughter is still in the same house. They bought it through the council in, I don't know, 1980-something.
So what would your dad grow in the garden? I mean, was it just potatoes or what?
Oh, he had potatoes growing there, runner beans, usual veg, onions, carrots.
And chickens?
And we had chickens, a dozen chickens up the top.
Was that regulated? I thought there were rules about chickens.
No.
Nearly
everybody had chickens.
Was that for the eggs or to kill them?
Both.
Or to eat them, you
know? For both. Yeah.
So, what about sweet? I mean, you were only a nipper. I mean, I don't know how.
You couldn't get sweets anywhere. I can remember going in a sweet shop. No, just but behind the counter saying to somebody there, he said, "I feel sorry for these kids." He said, "They're coming in, we got nothing to give them, you know."
Did you miss them?
Yeah, to a certain extent, but when you think we only had halfpence and pennies in them days, you get a bag of sweets for a halfpenny, but then when the war came, you couldn't even get that, you know, until the rationing came, and the rationing didn't come till nearly the end of the war. But they were just scarce, you just couldn't get them.
Now, what about this army cadets business? That was based at school, was it? Now, what did you do with the army? What sort of training did you have?
We did a bit of usual marching and everything up and down the playground of Underhill School. But then we used to go out, when I can remember going over to Essendon camp under canvas. You looked after yourself the weekend. Somebody was peeling spuds, somebody was doing something else, and, you know. And what's that? Well, that's manoeuvres. We go out and they picked up two sides. The one lot were, you had the rifles, old fashioned carbines, and nothing in them, bang, bang, you know, that sort of thing. But you had to sort of make out that you was, well, we used to see it from films, you know, the way the troops used to move and that. And they'd have thunder flashes thrown at them, and that's bang.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, it was a great weekend. We used to go on Saturday morning and come back Sunday evening.
Now, did you have any duties at all? I mean, did the Army cadets do any patrolling or anything like the Home Guard did, or any guards?
No,
anything?
No.
It was just learning. Were you ever
and
in?
And we was under canvas, you know.
Did you ever get attached to the Army, the ARP, or did you do any voluntary work with them or anything?
I was a bit young for that. My dad did. He was an ARP warden. They took in turns in the street where we were.
What would your father do when he was on ARP duty?
Well, he just sat in the bothy there, as they called it, and if you had a raid, they went outside, and if it was, at that time, you'd get a lot of incendiary bombs, and that would be ready for the old stirrup pump and things like that, you know.
And
sand,
would your dad be on all night?
He'd be on all night, one night, yeah.
He did one night a week, I think.
I took it in turns, groups, yeah.
You'd still have to work next day, though.
Oh, yeah.
And anything ever happened to him, or?
No. He was exiled himself. Just after the First World War.
So what happened next then? What's the next thing you remember? Your next thing would be leaving school and getting a job.
14.
And what was your work that you did when you were 14?
When I left school, the first job I had was in a pharmaceutical firm in New Barnet, Moore's factory. We used to make medicines, ointments and things like that.
And what were you actually doing in the factory? Were you just a labourer or what?
Well, more or less, because what used to happen there, you had the people. Like, if you say they wanted an ointment, well, the basis of all ointments is petroleum jelly. So they'd have these big drums of that. And me and the other bloke, we used to wheel them in from outside up the little ramp and on these big trolleys and just dump them where they want. But what they used to do, they used to weigh the thing and then weigh out the petroleum jelly. So they make, I mean, that would go in these big steam boilers and melt it. Then they'd add perhaps zinc and castor oil, so you've got that, you know, whatever ointment it was.
And were you an apprentice or were you just working?
No, just working now.
Did you enjoy the work?
Yeah, I did at first, but I always wanted to get on the lorries as a lorry driver, and I couldn't get it, and I wanted to leave, and you had to get permission to leave, and I'd said it a bit wonderful, and the thing was, I used to keep coming out in boils, you know, whether it was the stuff I was working with. So I had to go and see, it was a police doctor, Dr. Harney, I'll always remember. I had to go and see him, and then I got permission to leave.
And when was that?
And then I got the permission to leave, I said, well, we'll get you on the van. So I've been trying for a year to get on the van, so they wouldn't do it. So I left, and I'll tell you what I went for. In them days, it was Warren's, but it's...
Now, when was this? You were on the pharmaceutical factory from
1943 till just before the end of the war.
So it was while you were there that the V1 and the V-bombs were doing?
Yeah, no. But when the V-bombs... I'm just trying to think. Then 1943, I went in the factory. I was there on June the 6th, the invasion.
That's 44.
44. I think it must have been the end of 44 I left there.
So the V-bomb, not so much...
You weren't the V-bombs then. It was, they came a bit later, didn't they?
So where did you go for this van job? Were you driving or were you a van boy?
No, I wasn't a van boy. It was a garage. I went into a garage.
What as? A trainee mechanic?
Trainee, yeah.
Is that what you wanted, to be a trainee mechanic or...?
Not particularly, but I really got into it. And, I taught myself to drive at 15. I was only 15 and a half. I taught myself to drive up and down their yard.
And what were you doing as a training mechanic? What were they teaching?
Well, I started off with draining oils and filling, the usual greasing and that. And then they'd say to you, right, they've got an engine out there and they used to get you grinding valves, things like that. And I was there till I got me to be National Service.
So you really enjoyed that?
Oh, yeah. And that was, the firm was, it used to be Warren's, coal people. It was a coal firm, but Charrington's took them over. They still got the place. And it was Charrington's I worked for then, until I went in the army.
And that, right, we'll come back to that then. Now, what about these V weapons then? Tell us about them. What you see?
Yeah, I can remember the V1, which was the old Doodle one. We'd gone out, I was the boy on the lorry. I went out, and there was no, Fred Felstead. We'd gone out to do a service on a lorry somewhere over the south side. And I can remember coming back along the Brixton Road, and right overhead was this bloody doodle bug, and it was running the same way as we were. So we didn't know whether to stop, go or what, yeah. So we carried on going, but that, because it was quicker than us, it had gone, it come down at the other end of Brixton Road somewhere. Did quite a bit of damage, but it was a pain in the backside. I remember what used to happen, these Spitfires used to go up and tip the wings of it. So that it,
with their wings?
Yeah, with just nudge it so that it turned round and went back. Or went out to sea, wherever, it didn't have so much petrol in them.
Any V1s land near where you lived? Or were they more south?
No, they were more south.
And what about the V2s? I know a big V2 hit in East Finchley, but any V2s you were...
Yeah, there was one at the end of Barnet High Street, there was another one up at Arkley, but that was in a field. Another one was down Bounds Green Road. That was a big one, because that's when I was working in the garage. I passed it on the trolley bus.
Were people scared, and more scared of the V? Because the V2 you didn't know was coming, did
no,
you?
No, the V1 was more frightening, because you could hear it, and you could hear the engine cut out.
And that was worse?
Yeah, it was, but with the V2 it bonked itself, you know.
So you didn't have a chance to worry?
No, you didn't have a chance to worry, it just hits and that was it. Touch wood, we were lucky, you know what I mean? But the V1s were, you'd be sitting indoors and all of a sudden you hear them and it cut out and you think, oh God, you know, dive under the table and do something silly like that.
Now, towards the end of the war, you're getting old, right? You're 15, nearly 16.
Yeah, I was, yeah.
What was it to do for a young lad? When did you start drinking? I mean, were you going to dance halls? Was there snooker?
Oh, no, at the end of the war,
What were you doing for fun?
I used to go to the pictures. I used to go to the billiard hall up in Barnet. You know,
billiards was your game?
Well, snooker hall. And dancing, ballroom dancing. I took that up. Yeah, it's me and my sister.
What were the dances like? I mean,
quickstep, waltz, foxtrot, and we passed on the three basic ones of the quickstep, waltz, and foxtrot. But this was going on a little bit later on. Yeah.
I mean, did you go to dance halls or was this ballroom dance?
Oh no, well.
Or were they the
we
same?
Did a, yes, same thing. I mean, in them days, the old school I went to, it's the Queen. Elizabeth Allen School, but they used to organise, not the school, but they had the hall, rented the hall, and you had a Johnny Carr come in with a band, four-piece band, and it was just general dancing, take your partners for a waltz, or, you know.
And you
enjoyed there was no jiving, there was no...
What about the cinema? What was your favourite stuff at the cinema then?
Oh, I used to like Humphrey Bogart, and... Yeah, he was a young Humphrey Bogart then. And I'm trying to remember. What was his name? He was always tossing a coin. Always in Gagney. No.
James Gagney?
I've seen James Gagney a lot in the old films. But,
Robinson.
No, I can't think of his name. It's all right. They were all about that time, you know. Yeah,
that was your favourite, was it?
Gangster Films? I mean, up until I left school, we used to go to the old Tutney Rush on a Saturday morning. The old Mickey Mouse Club at school. Yeah, he saw two films and...
Have you started drinking at 16?
No.
I mean, I know you're not allowed to.
No. If I went up and met my dad, he was using the same Top of Wellhouse Lane. He always used that pub, and it was a family pub. And I've been in there, and... I'll tell you, the first time I went to have a, I had a drink, I was only 16. I'd gone with my father to... he had an awkward delivery in Barnet Church. Well, you shot the coal down a small manhole. Well, I went down in the crypt with a shovel, pulling it back so he could shove it down. Oh, jeez, I've got as black as the ace of spades. But the horse, well, yeah, the horse he had there, he just used the one horse at that time. He could find his own way. Whether it was going home, whether he could find his own way to the pub, he said, walk along, come from the church. There wasn't a lot of traffic because petrol was still rationed. There was nothing on the road. But I can remember he walked up the High Street, turned up Union Street, went round by Ravenscroft Park and stopped. Pubs across the road. My dad used to just tie it out. And he took me over to the pub. I was filthy. Really was. I was 16. So we went to the pub. Dad ordered his pint. He said, look, give him a pint. And all. He's worked like a man today. Give him a pint. And I had one of his, he used to roll boars in, and I had one of his cigarettes out there. Yeah, it was great. But you couldn't take liberties with me, Dad. I can remember smoking after that sometime. And I got a cigarette in my mouth, he used to put that out. And I just laughed, thinking, and he got up and whacked, knocked the cigarette. Yeah, I mean, you couldn't take liberties with him. I mean, although he gave me a cigarette and bought me a pint.
Did you enjoy your first pint?
Yeah, I did. I've got a taste for it, eh?
Now, what about the end of the war? You know, V-Day, VJ Day, any street party?
Yeah, we had a big street party there. See, where we lived, it's a great big, it was a cul-de-sac, a great big green in the middle.
Now, when did you have the street party? VJ Day, VE Day? Or
we had one for VE Day. It was, you know, VE Day was the 8th of May, probably the following weekend. And all the stores were set up, you know, the food and stuff. It was good for the kids. Really,
and what
great.
Was it like? I mean, how good was it? I mean,
it was good. There was two people. One played, both played an accordion. Phyllis Boyce, she was a neighbour of ours. I don't know who the other person was. But they had them all dancing and everything with the accordions. And it was great. We had a bonfire in the middle of the green. And us kids were sitting there and, you know, right up till, what, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, nobody bothered, you know.
And were you pleased the war was over? I mean, because you were just about coming
of
age.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah, I was glad to see the end of it. And then, because you had another party in August, when it was the VJ Day.
And it's the similar sort of thing?
Yeah.
Now, what about, so what's the next thing that happened for you? You carried on working at the garage?
Yeah, until I got the National Tiffany.
Now, what about your call-up? What were the backgrounds you'd been? What year were you called up in?
Well, I was called up 1947. I got my papers, it was Easter. I got the call-up papers to go on Easter Monday. And I thought, bloody hell. And then a few days later, I got to leave it till the following.
That would be April?
That would be April, yeah. April the 9th was when they wanted me to go, and that was Easter Monday. They put it back.
Had they done you a medical or anything before?
Yeah, I had to go to... I'd been to a medical down at Deansbrook Road, Edgware.
And was that a proper medical?
It was. But the thing I didn't tell you, when I was working for the in the pharmaceutical, I had an accident. Two of us were pushing, I tell you, we used to push the barrow, you know, up with the trolley with the big drum of it. And I can remember, and he stopped and let go of it, and it came up and lifted me right over the top. It was a bloody big trolley. Two of us supposed to be pushing it, and it came up and nipped me underneath. Well, what happened after that? One of my testicles used to swell up, and I used to have to get it drained. And it was what they called a hydrocele. And I didn't think I was going to pass in the army. But the doctor, I can remember the doctor said, like, cough, and he called somebody else. I thought, oh, yeah, and I wanted to go in the army. But I passed day one.
So
and I had quite a bit of trouble after I was in the army, though, with it.
Now, so that was when you were called up. So you went in April 1947.
Yeah, about the report in Liverpool, and that same evening we were on the boat to Belfast.